pull out a dollar bill and look closely, you'll find something curious, a pyramid with an all-seeing eye floating above it. Turn to the Great Seal of the United States, and you'll discover something most Americans never notice. There's another side. It shows a constellation of 13 stars, each representing a state, arranged in a pattern of mutual coordination. These aren't just decorative symbols, they represent two fundamentally opposing philosophies of how power works. One concentrates control at the top, flowing downward through rigid hierarchy. The other distributes power across networks of equals, creating energy through connection. Here's what makes this fascinating. The constellation side was cast in metal immediately upon approval in 1782, but the pyramid side sat dormant for 150 years until Franklin Roosevelt placed it on currency during the Great Depression. That shift wasn't accidental. It marked America's pivot towards centralized federal power. But which approach actually creates more power? The answer might surprise you, because it turns out that giving power away often generates far more than hoarding it ever could. Encyclopedia Britannica sold leather-bound knowledge for over $1,200 per set in the 1990s. Microsoft's Encarta undercut them dramatically, but both ultimately failed. The winner? Wikipedia. Jimmy Wales, who grew up obsessively reading encyclopedias in small-town Alabama, first launched Newpedia with rigorous academic standards that produced only 18 articles in a year. Then he tried Wiki technology, letting anyone edit anything. Within 12 months, Wikipedia had 18,000 articles. Today, it hosts over 6 million English articles with billions of monthly visitors. D. Hawk reimagined credit cards the same way. When Bank of America's credit card system drowned in chaos, Hawk proposed something radical: member banks simultaneously competing and cooperating, with structure self-organizing without centralized power. His vision became Visa, which today processes 65,000 transactions per second across 200-plus countries, handling $11 trillion annually. Whether encyclopedias, credit cards, or social movements, giving away power, paradoxically, creates more of it. Peter Drucker, the 20th century's most influential management thinker, had a guru, Mary Parker Follett. Warren Bennis admitted that just about everything written today about leadership and organizations comes from Mary Parker Follett. Yet within a decade of her 1933 death, she'd become a non-person, forgotten despite having already articulated what Wikipedia and countless successful organizations would later rediscover. Born in 1868, Follett grew up with a father suffering from Civil War PTSD and alcoholism, creating constant tension between official authority and her own conscience. At Harvard's Women's Annex, she studied under William James, who taught her that our mindset toward others changes actual outcomes. Despite her groundbreaking thesis on congressional leadership, she was denied academic positions because of her gender. Working in Boston's immigrant neighborhoods, she spread the community center movement to over 240 cities. In the new state, she identified four possible outcomes when groups interact: acquiescence, just giving in; victory, you win but everyone else loses; compromise, nobody leaves satisfied; and integration, when all members create something new together, enhancing rather than diminishing individuality. Only integration is good. Business leaders in the 1920s recognized her genius immediately. Her power with, not power over lecture became a sensation. Then the Great Depression hit, her partner died, and Follett herself died shortly after. Her insights vanished for decades, buried under pyramid-minded thinking. When John Gilbert Winnant replaced Joseph Kennedy as U.S. ambassador to Britain in 1941, he walked bomb-damaged London streets after Luftwaffe raids, clearing rubble alongside ordinary citizens. This genuine solidarity earned deep respect. His relationship with Churchill crystallized at Pearl Harbor when Roosevelt declared, "We are all in the same boat now." Churchill later coined special relationship to describe these ties, connections creating fruitful friction, productive tension that energizes rather than exhausts. This concept found unexpected expression in Alcoholics Anonymous, founded in 1935 when Bill W. and Dr. Bob Smith discovered mutual healing through interdependent recovery. Despite the AMA dismissing AA as lacking scientific merit, the Big Book has sold over 30 million copies in 67 languages. These relationships embrace disagreement with affection, frank discussions while preserving trust. Whether international alliances or recovery programs, the principle holds: freedom together creates self-perpetuating networks more resilient than hierarchies. What Follett called reciprocal freedom manifests across contexts, proving genuine connection transcends formal structures. Barack Obama stood in an Iowa cornfield in 2007, 27 points behind in an 8-candidate race. 18 months later, he was president. Years earlier at a Louisville fundraiser, he'd done something unexpected. He asked to meet friends who couldn't afford tickets or weren't Democrats. He mostly listened rather than spoke. Later, these friends raved about his inspiring speech, though he'd barely said anything. He hadn't lit up the room like a spotlight. He'd gotten everyone to switch on their own light. When Obama announced his run, he rejected exclusive fundraising and insisted the finance committee grow 3 times larger. The campaign held both traditional high-dollar events and unconventional $20 gatherings. Volunteers learned to approach fundraising like farming, planting seeds that multiply rather than hunting from target lists. Clinton's campaign converted 20% of 250,000 names to donors. Obama started with just 10,000 names, but ended with 100,000 donors. The organizing principle, respect, empower, include, spread organically from Iowa nationwide, creating a snowflake pattern, a self-repeating fractal where each organizer recruited super volunteers who each found regular volunteers. By election day, this operated in all 50 states. In one battleground state, the volunteer flake rate was -50%. For every 10 people who committed, 15 showed up. The constellation that powered Obama's campaign collapsed after inauguration. Facing crisis and opposition, he declared, "Elections have consequences. I won." The campaign network became a weapon for legislative battles rather than participation. CNET followed the same arc, building success by letting users share knowledge, then announcing a $100 million campaign with "You Can Trust Our Experts." Their stock plummeted from 80 to 80 cents. As ambassador to Sweden and the UK, fighting this pyramid mindset became daily work. When senior embassy staff drew frustrating days, all 10 independently drew triangles with themselves at the bottom. Their greatest frustration and inspiration? Bureaucracy and community. The insight? It's us. We are the bureaucracy, and we are the community. Visits to 200 schools engaging 20,000 students revealed what traditional strategies missed: real relationships, not messaging, change perceptions. The pyramid mindset saves us in emergencies, but leads toward authoritarianism. The constellation isn't an alternative model. It's nature's playbook, life itself. When President Obama eulogized Reverend Clementa Pinckney, murdered with 8 congregation members by a white supremacist, he hadn't planned to sing. After a 13-second pause, he began "Amazing Grace" alone. The congregation gradually joined until everyone sang together. He abandoned his prepared speech to leap into vulnerability, transforming positional power into collective strength. The word "might" captures this duality: strength and uncertainty. "I might" leads to "I might too," and eventually, "we might." When Lynn Twist met an Achuar tribal chief, he told her, "If you are here to help, please leave. But if you are here because you feel your liberation is bound up with ours, then stay. Let's work together." This is what Mary Parker Follett called reciprocal freedom. Freedom together that heals both parties. In a world obsessed with individual achievement and concentrated control, we've forgotten that distributing power creates more of it. True might emerges not from standing alone at the pyramid's peak, but from the uncertain leap of saying "we might" together.